John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When God gives his all, it is required that I give my all. Romans 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." As in all matters, a halfway spiritual mentality will only get you halfway there. Forget about it. That journey should have never begun. If you want peace that passes understanding, it requires unconditional surrender. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "If I stand absolutely on God's word, my whole body will be filled with light. Confusion and uncertainty is gone. My absolutes must be absolutely absolute, and when they are, the mountain moves." Mark 11, 23, "For I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." If I sacrifice all of my will for all of God's will, all things will work together for my perfect good. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Knowing how God interacts with the man he created is serious knowledge. What are the rules of engagement? Psalms 18, 25 and 26. "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward." How do I want God to interact with me? Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language defines froward as follows: "Perverse, that is, turning from, with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, peevish, as a froward child," end of quote. God's word said, "And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward." We choose how God interacts with us. "If I give, it will be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Jesus describes this marvelous principle in Luke 6, 37 and 38. "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." If I am stingy, God will be stingy. If I make God's business first, he'll make my business first. We truly choose how our God interacts with us. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, as Jesus declares in John 3, 3? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." God gave his only begotten Son for your soul. Will you respond by giving the rest of your life to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory and lover of your soul? Are you willing to pay the price? In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, everything changes today. Did you hear that? The word is everything. Today, all of your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be Holy Ghost clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one, and yes, the bigger the better. You will be Holy Ghost free. Will today be the best day of your life? It is possible, and you are holding your soul in your very own hands. The choice is yours to make. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Revelation 10, 5 and 6, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. God said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God said, Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Man said, we've got to turn this whole getting sick and old and dead business around. We want immortality without Jesus Christ in the Bible. Science and artificial intelligence will lead the way. Can't you just feel it? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1218, that will once again certify the supernatural inerrancy of God's beautiful book, your majority text Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as necessary information to convince the gainsayers. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you and your house with light and truth. It is confirmation after confirmation. Science's latest discoveries confirm, in most cases inadvertently, the supreme inerrancy of God's Holy Bible. Holy dictums penned thousands of years ago, long before scientists even thought to look, constantly confirmed by modern science, and each proclaiming the bona fides of God's beautiful book. You can find a host of such examples on God Said, Man Said in the record category. One such example. Science knows it as the first law of thermodynamics, or the law of conservation, and it states that matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. The original content cannot be increased or diminished. Though the original content can change form, the quantity of it must always remain the same. This scientific law was named 200 years ago, but the Holy Bible declared this truth 3,000 years ago and implied it from the very beginning. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, and it was penned 3,000 years ago, declares, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth that men should fear before him. For example, physics identifies four forces, with the most dominant and mysterious of these known as the strong force. Everything in creation is held together by this mysterious strong force, and if this strong force were removed, all of creation would simply go poof and disappear. Physics only recently named this strong force, which the Bible originally identified 2,000 years prior in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This mysterious force is the creative power of the Word of God that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom God created all things. Again, the passage just read states, and upholding all things by the word of his power. This strong force is also revealed in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Remember, Jesus' name is the Word of God. That's his official name, Revelation 19:13. Example. When science first discovered the amazing DNA in mankind in the 1950s, they were shocked to learn that DNA functioned using a predefined alphabet and gave its instructions for building life in words, sentences, paragraphs, chapters, and volumes upon volumes. Because of this, DNA was dubbed the Book of Life. DNA was fancied a new discovery in the 1950s, but Psalms 139:14-16 described it accurately 3,000 years ago. It reads, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When science arrives at their latest discoveries, they find the children of God already there with banners unfurled. This feature will demonstrate science's deep befuddlement in their quest to define what they call the arrow of time. God Said, Man Said has published numerous features addressing this subject, and you can be certain that the childlike children of faith do not share in carnal academia's befuddlement. The blood-bought know this issue right well, and will have no such confusion with the arrow of time bring back in the news. Before we consider science's latest puzzlement over the one-way arrow of time, we must first consider two points of information that relate directly to time. First, science now predicts with some certainty that time stops at the speed of light. Famed scientist and media personality Dr. Michael Gillen wrote the following in his book, Believing is Seeing. Light exists in a timeless world. Special relativity also says that time is elastic. As you speed up, say, aboard Elon Musk's Starship headed for Mars, your sense of time automatically slows, your heart rate slows, your aging slows. This raises a very interesting question. Hypothetically speaking, what if you achieve the impossible and reach the speed of light? What would happen to your sense of time? Answer, it would slow to a dead stop, at which point you'd become a timeless being. Time would cease to exist. There'd be no past, no future, only an eternal now. Light exists in a timeless world. In particular, here's what they say. Science, at the speed of light, time stops. Light, therefore, is not constrained by time. It is a timeless phenomenon. Christianity, God created time, so he exists outside of it. God, therefore, is not constrained by time. He is a timeless entity. End of quote. God is from everlasting to everlasting, with no beginning and with no end. He is an immortal. And 1 John 1:5 tells us he is light. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John 1:9 speaks of Jesus Christ and reports, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. As God was sending Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, Moses inquired of God's name. The exchange is found in Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Glory is the light of life. Jesus speaks to the Father in John 17:5, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. When Jesus returns at the soon-to-come battle of Armageddon, 2 Thessalonians 2:8 reports the following, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Jesus Christ is the true light of immortality. In Christ, the born again are also promised eternal life. Consider the following strange grouping of words in Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus speaks of the blood-bought in Matthew 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, and the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In eternity, all God's children will be like Jesus Christ, the true light. Science claims with some certainty that time stops at the speed of light. Someone is knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Second piece of information. Until the 1960s, evolution's position on the beginning of the world was that there was no beginning. We've always been here. But a better understanding of the second law of thermodynamics, also known as the law of entropy, resulted in a change of thinking. The second law of thermodynamics states that everything goes from order to disorder, which demands a beginning after all. Lo and behold, the earth had a beginning. Just like God said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Time's arrow and the second law are hooked at the hip. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Entropy and Time's Arrow, they always end up here. In the June 19, 2010 issue of Science News in the Bookshelf feature, a new book by Sean Carroll is highlighted. The title of his book is From Eternity to Here, The Quest for the Ultimate Theory of Time. The following excerpt is from the Science News review of Carroll's book. Caltech physicist Sean Carroll's articulate exposition avoids any pretension of solving the problem. Instead, he tells a rich story of the various attempts to track time's arrow to its source, which clearly has something to do with the second law of thermodynamics. That law requires the amount of disorder or entropy in a closed system to stay the same or increase over time until reaching its maximum possible level. Time marches forward because entropy in the past was lower than now. But that explanation merely restates the problem by defining the past as a time of lower entropy. Explaining time's arrow, Carroll asserts, requires explaining why entropy was so low at the Big Bang, end of quote. 2 Timothy 3:7 speaks of the wicked and reads, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The ungodly's questions are in all the right places, but because of their clear rejection of God's word, the truth, they are doomed to their fruitless search and their quest for things like the source of the time arrow. The review of Mr. Carroll's book highlights three issues. 1, tracking time's arrow to its source. 2, how the second law of thermodynamics and entropy rule the world of time. And 3, why was entropy so low at the theorized Big Bang? The source of time's arrow is a creator issue. The law of entropy is a sin issue. Why disorder was so low in the beginning is an issue of the word good. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Concerning thermodynamics, Jeremy Rifkin writes the following in his book, Entropy, A Worldview. Now, however, a new worldview is about to emerge, one that will eventually replace the Newtonian world machine as the organizing frame of history. The entropy law will preside as the ruling paradigm over the next period of history. Albert Einstein referred to it as the supreme metaphysical law of the entire universe. The entropy law is the second law of thermodynamics. The first law states that all matter and energy in the universe is constant, that it cannot be created or destroyed, only its form can change, but never its essence. The second law, the entropy law, states that matter and energy can only be changed in one direction, that is, from usable to unusable, or from available to unavailable, and from ordered to disordered, end of quote. Much confusion and debate exist in the field of science concerning the second law of thermodynamics. It is theorized that at the Big Bang there was maximum chaos, which in science parlance means disorder or entropy. But time's arrow contradicts, because when one travels back in time, entropy decreases. This, of course, is the case, and now what do you do with the Big Bang? Richard Morris, in his book Time's Arrow, Scientific Attitudes Toward Time, writes, there are other problems associated with attempts to apply the second law of thermodynamics to the universe as a whole. Presumably, the universe began in a very chaotic state. A chaotic state is, by definition, a state of high entropy. When we speak of chaos, we mean that there is a great deal of disorder. On the other hand, numerous kinds of structure have appeared since the universe began. For example, stars and galaxies have formed. The creation of this structure and the fact that stars gain entropy as they burn their nuclear fuel would seem to imply that the universe is far from a state of maximum entropy now. But how can this be? If entropy was so high at the beginning, doesn't the second law of thermodynamics tell us that entropy increases with time? End of quote. Or how about this statement by Don Page in Nature under the heading, Inflation Does Not Explain Time Asymmetry. The time asymmetry of the universe is expressed by the second law of thermodynamics that entropy increases with time as order is transformed into disorder. The mystery is not that an ordered state should become disordered, but that the early universe was in a highly ordered state. End of quote. They have rejected the truth. Consequently, they are frustrated by the obvious facts. Science is trying to track time's arrow to its source. For every human, the clock is the harbinger of death. We are all born with a time limit attached to our lives, and the second law reigns supreme. Was that the way it was in the beginning? The scriptures teach that Adam and Eve were created to live forever. Entropy was not a factor, and therefore the life clock in regard to man simply was not ticking. Amazingly enough, the Bible declares that in the end, time will be no more. Time's arrow, the clock, is regulated by the second law of thermodynamics, which can simply be defined as order to disorder, life to death. The scriptures call this scientific law the law of sin and death. Sin equals death. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Time's arrow in regard to man and this earth has a source, all right, and that source is definitely sin. But for the redeemed, this impediment will soon be gone, for sin and time, hallelujah, shall be no more. The truth deniers in the field of science are flummoxed, explaining time's arrow. Carroll asserts, requires explaining why entropy was so low at the Big Bang. Keep in mind that entropy is a measurement of death, order to disorder, life to death. Why, they ask, was it so low at the theorized big explosion when the opposite should have been the case? The answer is oh so gloriously simple. Again, Genesis 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Time's clock was just not ticking. The second law is the law of death, and it is a product of sin. In the scriptures, it is properly called the law of sin and death. This earth and its inhabitants, according to science and the Bible, are on a one-way street to destruction. Some scientists project that when entropy reaches its maximum, the universe will explode in a consuming blaze of fire. The second law forecasts the heat death of the universe. And 2 Peter 3:10-12 agrees, and it was penned 2,000 years ago. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. For you and me, God has made a way of escape. Click on the Further with Jesus now and again, it will be very good. Thousands of years before science asked the questions, the Word of God declared the answers. The deceivableness of unrighteousness will always embrace the lie, regardless of how implausible. The following excerpts are from the June 25, 2015 issue of Science News under the title Time's Arrow. In its relationship to these tasks, time poses tough questions. Nobody really knows why time marches always forward as the universe grows bigger and irreversible processes within it generate increasing disorder. The second law of thermodynamics is somehow involved, most physicists believe, but they can't agree on how time's direction was determined at the origin of cosmic history. We get older, but never younger. There is a distinct arrow of time pointing in one direction. For nearly 140 years, scientists have tried to rule out the backward flow of time by way of nature's preference for disorder. Left alone, nature transforms the heat into the messy, a one-way progression that many physicists have used to define time's direction. But if nature prefers disorder now, it always has. The challenge is figuring out why the universe started out so orderly, thereby allowing disorder to grow and time to march forward when the early universe should have been messy. Despite many proposals, physicists have not been able to agree on a satisfying explanation, end of quote. The second law is a product of Eve's unbelief and disobedience and of Adam's acquiescence. Listen to their befuddlement as you read excerpts from the June 1 through 7, 2024 issue of New Scientist, published under the title The Quantum Arrow of Time, with the subhead, A New Way to Think About Why Time Only Flows in One Direction Has Major Implications for Both the Universe's Early Period and Its Eventual Demise, says Leah Crane from the feature. In the beginning, there was no quantum entanglement. That is the conclusion of a study exploring the so-called entanglement past hypothesis, which is part of a quantum reinvention of our notions about why time flows only in one direction. When two particles become entangled, each can no longer be thought of as an independent object. Their properties are tied together even if they are physically far apart. However, unless these particles are perfectly isolated from the environment, outside interference will eventually cause their entanglement to break down in a process called decoherence. This phenomenon inspired an idea called the decoherent or quantum arrow of time. This posits that because of decoherence is irreversible, it could be the fundamental reason why time flows forwards and never backward. This is related to the more traditional thermodynamic arrow of time, where the direction of time's flow is governed by the idea that entropy or disorder must always increase, a concept at the core of the second law of thermodynamics. If you follow the thermodynamic arrow back to the beginning of time and reconstruct that starting state of the universe known as the thermodynamic past hypothesis, you will conclude it must have been one of extremely low entropy. Research conducted by Jim L. Khalil, University of Surrey, UK, and Eddie Cumming Chan, University of California, San Diego, suggests that there was no quantum entanglement in the earliest moments of the universe. As the cosmos evolved, there was more and more entanglement and correspondingly more and more decoherence. El Khalili and Chen also found that a low entanglement initial state would have low thermodynamic entropy, which hints that the thermodynamic and quantum arrows of time may be connected to one another, end of quote. Science continues to struggle to understand the arrow of time and the second law, but students of the Holy Bible have no such difficulties. Had the so-called wisest among us been properly schooled, as in Sunday schooled, the answer would be so easily discerned. Romans 8:2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When God created the universe, he was somewhere other than the universe, even as the God who creates time is outside of time itself, for he is timeless, from everlasting to everlasting. In Discover Magazine in March 2009 issue, several interesting speculations concerning time are offered from the field of scientific theory. The excerpts cited below are from the Discover article titled 20 Things You Didn't Know About Time. Some speculate new physics theories suggest that time emerges from a more fundamental and timeless reality. Again from Discover. Time has not been around forever. Most scientists believe it was created along with the rest of the universe in the Big Bang 13.7 million years ago, end of quote. A beginning of time, yes. A 13.7 billion year old Big Bang, no. Absolutely not. Will there be an end of time, even as God's word declares? The final excerpt from Discover suggests so. There may be an end of time. Three Spanish scientists posit that the observed acceleration of the expanding cosmos is an illusion caused by the slowing of time. According to their math, time may eventually stop, at which point everything will come to a standstill, end of quote. God's word teaches that soon time will be no more. Science is beginning to see the light, but ever so dimly. Thousands of years before man began to understand why God proclaimed in his Holy Bible, build your life upon the truth that never changes. Today's latest science continues to knock on heaven's door, but unfortunately for them, that knock on the door remains unanswered. This place is not approached through academics. No, it is only accessed on one's knees. God said, Revelation 10, 5 and 6, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever who created heaven and the things that therein are and the earth and the things that therein are and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. God said, Colossians 1, 2, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God said, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Man said, we've got to turn this whole getting sick and old and dead business around. We want immortality without Jesus Christ in the Bible. Science and artificial intelligence will lead the way. Can't you just feel it? Now you have the record.